Happy Women's Day. All months. Okay. I'm so glad that God gave us the opportunity to listen to His Word today. We thank all of you who are willing to share this Word of God with us. We will be blessed. Before we start reading, I just remind you the theme of our church today, these days, talks about discipleship. I will ask you one question. Are you the disciples of Christ? I don't hear your voice. Are we disciples of Christ?
Yes.
This is good. We will talk about ourselves then. The theme today is about the impact of a men's discipleship in societies. The impact of I have added men's because we want to be more inclusive as we are all disciples of Christ. The impact of women's and men's discipleship in societies. That will be the main theme. How do we impact our societies because as disciples of Christ, as we said, we just said today. Meaning the Christian or the disciple has always to impact his society or someone's life. How do we impact our society as disciples? Let us read the book of 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1 to 19. I can read, but my eyes are not very well. These days the Bible has tiny scriptures. Let us read. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But through Naaman's, I cannot read properly with this Bible, small scriptures. Though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day, the girl said to Naaman, to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." My sister, if you can see clearly, it is still dim for me because my glasses now mean. If you can still continue with the readings, I would appreciate. I'm sorry.
Verse 4. Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now, as the letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." It came about when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." It happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door, at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Up to
19.
But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar," some names are difficult to read, huh? "the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. 13. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, My father had the prophet told you to do some great things? Would you not have done it? How much more then when you say, how much more than when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When he turned to the man of God with all his company and came and stood before him, he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So please take a present from your servant now." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will take nothing." And he argued him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, "If not, please let your servant at least be given 2 months' load of earth. For your servant will no more offer burnt offering, nor will he sacrifice to other God but the Lord. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hands and bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in the matter." He said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him some distance. Amen.
Thank you, my sister. This is the word of God. As you can hear, as you can read in this text, we have different characters, but we will focus mostly on two main characters. We will focus on Naaman's healing, and we will focus on the servant, the slave of Naaman, the one who was serving in Naaman's house. This slave girl is interesting for us because we are talking about women. How can women impact their societies? But when we talk about women's impact in the society, we also talk about all types of disciples of Christ. So let us ask some questions. Who is the slave girl? We will get to know about her. Where does she come from? Who is Naaman himself? How did the slave girl impact the life of Naaman and of others? When we will pay attention to this text, we will see we will listen that she impacted many others. Beside Naaman, she also impacted many people in Israel. This slave girl, who is that one? The text said that she was a captive of war by the Arameans when they invaded the land of Israel. Usually when the soldiers were invading a land, they were able to slaughter people, to kill people. I'm wondering whether the parents of this girl were not killed also during the war. And all of a sudden, she was taken captive to another land. She comes from Israel. She was taken as captive. Today we can talk about maybe kidnapping. It's more than kidnapping. Being brought to another land and being sold as a slave, it's not an easy matter. Aside from that, she was a girl in a context which we know, patriarchal context, a girl being kidnapped. And she was a teenager. She was very young. She was a little girl. She was not adult that she, maybe as an adult she could have survived, but she was a little girl. All of this, what I'm describing, is a lower status, being taken as a slave, and to come from a land where God has been worshipped, has been honored as the sovereign God. Yahweh was her God, and she has been taught that since her childhood. And she believed that the only one God to worship is Yahweh. She has experienced the power of Yahweh from her childhood. She has been taught that, and she trusts in Yahweh as the sovereign God. That is her background, religious background. She trusts in God, in Yahweh. But she was taken in a foreign land, the land of pagans. She was brought to Aram, to Syria, where they worship different gods, the idols. You can imagine how hard it can be for this kind of girl. But she loved Yahweh. Despite the fact that she was brought in a foreign land, she still kept in her mind that all those other gods are not as powerful as Yahweh. She knew that since the childhood, as a teenager. It is already a package she had in her heart. Although she respected, she was working as a slave, but in a lowest status, because other slaves were working in the farms, but she was lucky, maybe she was closer to serving in the house. So she, in her service, in the house of Naaman's wife, she created some kind of relationship, although she was lower, she was not important, even considering her age. Nobody could have consulted her for any important matters. But because she was obedient to the Lord, she also served faithfully in her house. Not only doing the duty like a slave, because the slave can do good things when the master is there. When he's not there, a servant can do whatever she likes. But for the fear of the Lord, she was also impacting Naaman's wife because of her attitude. She loved her masters. She did all work. She respected even the religious without worshipping their God. But she was keeping in mind something. She was a loving servant, slave. She was a humble serving slave, respectful. And this created the trustworthiness from these people to whom she was serving. What is this? Now, because of this fear of the Lord, because of the love she owed to the master, she was compassionate to the master because she saw how the master was struggling with a skin disease, leprosy. In Israel, normally, when somebody got leprosy, he could be cast out of the community and you could no longer approach her. But for her, coming from this kind of belief, she still loved her master who was suffering from a disease, which brought her compassion, because she knew the power of the Lord. She knew that the man of God can heal this kind of disease. She knew how God can serve, can heal, can restore the life of her boss. But she didn't revenge to the point that, no, they just mistreated me, cutting me off from my roots, from my parents, from the environment in which I have grown up. She didn't revenge, but she still had compassion. She felt that she had the responsibility to bring restoration to her master, considering her faith to the Lord. So she whispered to Naaman's king, wife, to her mistress. She whispered, she said, if ever my boss could go to Israel and meet the man of God for his healing, he could have been healed. She still kept that in mind because she relied on the power of God even wherever she went. Her testimony influenced immediately because she already gained avail the confidence of her mistress. The mistress immediately believed in this word, because Mrs. Naaman was also eager for the healing of her husband, but they were helpless. Both of them were helpless. Before we go further in what did she do, it seems that Naaman's wife respected also that girl because of her faith, because of her service, because of her love, and then she also understood that what she's telling her is the truth. She must tell her husband. Naaman, who was that one to be told by a little girl, to trust in the word of a little girl? Naaman was, as you heard in the verse 1, he was a powerful warrior, commander. He won different victories to his country on Israel's land. They went to invade, whenever they went to invade Israel, they were gaining the victory because of Naaman. He was the highest commander. Imagine in our society, the highest commander, you cannot even open your mouth in front of him. If, especially when you are a little girl, you cannot. She dared telling him, high position. He was also rich. If you read the text, you will find out that Naaman was rich because when going to Elisha, he took horses, he took a lot of wealth, silvers and so on, which he could offer to the one who will heal him. It means that he was rich. And he was also loved by his king because of that high rank. But she told, and this Naaman, when when the wife told Naaman about what the little girl said, he was also touched. He believed it's a matter of believing also, because if a little baby tells me something, I might not have, he's kidding or she's kidding. But he took seriously, considering the attitude of this slave. They trusted her also, what she's saying. And immediately, he didn't wait until he sees his king to tell him the story of this little girl about his healing. And then the king also all of a sudden He just prepared all the necessary. He processed all the papers. He ensured Naaman that, don't worry, as a king, I will write immediately to the king of Israel. And yet they were in conflict with the king of Israel. So I will write him a diplomatic letter so that they open the door for you to enter Israel for the healing. And I'll tell him that the king should heal you. When the king of Israel heard about that, considering the animosity between him and his country, the king was embarrassed. He quickly forget all about the power of the Lord. And yet the mission of Israel was to bring the name of Yahweh throughout the countries, that all nations will believe that the Lord is the only one God to worship. He forgot about it. He relied on his power. And said, he said, what? Why is he declaring the war against me again? What is wrong with me and him? He was embarrassed. But he even torn all his clothes, some kind of mourning in the nation. And then the man of God who still trusts the Lord, who still remember all what the Lord can do through him, he just say, what is wrong with my king? Tell him that he should send me Naaman in this place. He should send me because I know the Lord can heal him as he always performs different miracles in the name of the Lord. Elisha was the one who was performing miracles in different places. You remember how he has done miracles on the favor of the widow. You remember how he has multiplied many things for the good of this widow. And he trusts in the Lord. Later, the king, Naaman was sent to Elisha, the man of God. He came with Naaman came with all his equipment, money, silver, that I will get healed, and maybe Elisha will stretch his hands and touch me in the name of the Lord. You see this influence. It is coming from the slave girl. It comes to the wives, Naaman's wife, to Naaman, to the king of Syria, up to the king of Israel, and to the man of God. What a great influence, you can imagine, from a little slave girl. And then, when the Naaman came, the man of God didn't let him enter. He just sent the servant, Gehazi. Just send him, tell him to go and wash in the Jordan River for his healing. How come he doesn't welcome me in his house? I'm a great person. He should even come and bow to me and say, and touch whatever he could touch for my healing. He's neglecting me. He wants to resist because of pride. He considers his rank. He considers his wealth. He considers all the honors he has in his country. This man is neglecting me, my dear. And then, when he just even tried to compare the rivers he had in his country with the river, Jordan River. He said, what is good in this Jordan River? We have even more beautiful rivers than this one. Why is he sending me this? This is diminishing me. He's putting me down. And then the servant of Naaman, they are already influenced by the power of the Lord. Imagine a message, a simple message, how it can change the society. They also trusted. They said, our king, our boss, why are you so embarrassed? Why can't you just do what the man of the Lord is telling you? Because we know that it's the truth. If he sends you somewhere, it means that he's sure about the power of the Lord. He might operate this miracle for you. Let us go. Let us go and see what will happen next. Later, he went. They convinced him. He finally humbled himself, because God cannot perform a miracle if you are full of pride, because you prevent God from impacting your life. You have to humble yourself. Then he went and he dipped in the water, Jordan River, 7 times, and all of a sudden his body became like the skin of a little baby. Imagine what a miracle, what an influence. And then he said, no, I should come back to the man of God to show myself the great things which happened in my life. He said, maybe he can sell, he can buy it with his money. God didn't want his money to heal him. It was by God's love and grace that he is healed. And it was by God's love and grace that God used the man, his man, the man of God, meaning Elisha, to perform this miracle, so that his name will be greater, because wherever they will tell about this story, people will believe that Yahweh is the only sovereign God to serve. And he did it. He said, I don't get money for that. He just refused the money. He just, because he knew that it is not by his own power he's impacting, he's changing this nature, but it is by God's power. You know, the mission of Israel, I remind you again, was that Israel will spread the name of the Lord throughout the world, and everyone will bow down to the Lord. Immediately, soon he got the healing, he started. Now I notice that the name of the Lord is the only one name I can worship. I will no longer bring sacrifice to any other God than to the Lord. Naaman is saying that because of the influence of that little girl, little slave, a person who is not important for him, but became important because of the name of the Lord she was carrying out from her land to the land of pagans. He said, the idols I don't offer sacrifice. Whenever I will go, we will go, we're supposed to go to such a place to worship, to offer sacrifice to other gods, but for me, I will only offer to the Lord. Influence. Impact. Later, I want us to check. Who are we? We just said that we are disciples of Christ. We are reading this story not because we are not for storytellers, but we are there to check what can be the influence, our influence in societies, because as Jesus' disciples, we have strong power. Do we believe that God is the most powerful God in all types of situations we are undergoing? We are disciples. Do we still believe in this power of the Lord? You don't believe? Tell me. Me, I still believe. I think that you are doubting. We still believe, as disciples, we still believe that the Lord who performs miracles, who can change bitter situation in a sweet situation, can still do it today. I still believe. We already experienced it in different ways. Even if we breathe today, we are still sitting here today. It is thanks to the power of the Lord in whom we believe. In whom we believe. There are many different situations, even worse than this situation in which this girl, slave girl, was living. Of course, she was also seriously suffering, being cut off her roots, her country and her parents. It was not easy, but also we are experiencing this kind of situation. A country full of war, a country full of disappointment, full of sufferings. We are being displaced. Even we make other people to be displaced because they come to help us here in Congo. I'm looking at our visitors and our foreign brothers and sisters who just come from their countries to come and suffer with us in this country. It's not easy, it's a sacrifice. Why do they come? Do you believe that they come only for money, or they come to share our sufferings because of the love in their hearts? Wherever you are working, be it in the schools, be it in NGOs, be it in UN agencies, this is a sacrifice, this is a love, because you know that you have the responsibility in your heart because God has sent you here. He has sent you wherever you are working. How do you get these opportunities? Do we get these opportunities to influence others? We do not have to neglect ourselves. We do not have to neglect. We still have to recall all the time who sent us here in this country. Who allows us to still survive all this hardship in this country? It is only God. If you read this text through, you can still continue reading it. You will find out that even Naaman was supported. God can use the bad things also to turn them in good things. Imagine the Naaman who was gaining the war, who was attacking Israel. God allows him to gain victories. Because through these victories, he will impact all of these people who have cited here in the text we read. Although the girl stimulates also this impact, the man Naaman was also part of it by God's grace. Because he was the one to go back again, now to spread the whole news in his country to show that I was a leper, I was excluded, see now I become like a little baby. It's wonderful. It's up to you and me to see how you can impact others as Christians. Our life is like Jesus said, it's like a salt, it's like a light to other people. Meaning, where you have darkness, where there is darkness, how do you impact and chase this darkness wherever you work, in whatever you do? Do you do it for the purpose of honoring the name of the Lord? Or do you do it with your pride, showing that people will see how wonderful I am? Because when Elisha said, they will know that in Israel there is a man of God, he wanted to say that they will see how powerful is our God. Don't do it pridefully. Do it because it is the mission for which we have been called by Jesus, and transform our society. We will pray that each one of us should be this kind of example to impact the lives of others. Not negatively, but positively. And positively is to do things for the glory of the Lord. That people, when they see what you do, they hear what comes out of your mouth, they will say, I want also to experience this life with the Lord of this person. Instead of pushing people back, kicking people back by the wrong things we do, let us pray that God will use us more powerfully to impact lives of others. It is not for women only. We took this through the story where a woman was at the stake, but we want us to feel disciples as women, and we want you men, even these children, to feel that they are disciples of Christ, so that they will be able to impact the life of other people. So let us pray for ourselves, for our friends, to be able to carry the name of the of God, and that people will be transformed, will transform the society because of what we do. Do it differently from the pagans, and they will be influenced by you and by me. Pray. Let us stand to pray for the Lord. Lord, we thank you because even if we are not very important as human beings, we know that through your love, your grace, we are more than conqueror. We are more than important people. Use us as vessels to bring your name from where we are to all other peoples whom we meet on our way, with whom we stay, to the whole environment in our country. We pray that you use us as instruments of transformation. We thank you because we believe in you, and we know that you will do it through us as vessels. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.